with me, turn with me in God's Word to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. The Bible says in Psalm 40, verse number 1, this Psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I want to preach on, he heard my cry. He heard my cry. Let's pray together tonight. Father, you know I need you. I need you to help me. I pray that I will preach exactly what needs to be preached. Lord, I wouldn't say anything that didn't need to be said. But Lord, I wouldn't refrain from saying anything that does need to be said. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to rest upon me. And Lord, I pray that our ears and hearts and lives would be open to the truth you have to give to us tonight. And we're going to thank you now for what you do. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The psalmist was writing. He says, I waited patiently upon the Lord. He inclined unto me and he heard my cry and heard my cry. There's a lot of things said about this psalm. You read different things, different thoughts. And there's no doubt there's several different ways you could go with it. Some say it's a messianic psalm and certainly talking about the Lord. And this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can see that and understand that. And there's great application to that. Some apply it solely to the thought of salvation. That's wonderful. I can see that. And some apply it just to the lives of a believer as they put their trust in the Lord. But I do believe tonight that while there's one interpretation, there's many applications. The Bible only has one interpretation. We understand that, right? You know, it was written by God and preserved for us. And it has one interpretation, but it applies to many things. For instance, in the Old Testament, we know so many things that were written to the children of Israel. So when we interpret it, we have to interpret it in the fact that it was written to the children of Israel. But it was written for us. You know, when I look and I hear what Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And who was he talking to? He was talking to the children of Israel. He said, you can serve the gods that were on the other side of the flood, or you can serve our God, the Lord God. He said, choose you who you want to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, you know, the interpretation of that is it was talking about him and his family, and it was talking to the children of Israel. But application is, it can apply to us. We have the same choice to make. So when we look at this passage of Scripture tonight in the Psalms, then I want you to understand the interpretation may be one thing, but there's many applications to it. I don't want to lose this. This being a messianic psalm, we can understand how the Lord is used and how certainly he went down to the mire for us and how that he was raised up the third day and now he is set up where everybody can see him and honor him. But also, this psalm was given to us and it was shown to us to show us that there is a God that delivers us when he hears our cry. So tonight when we look at this psalm, I want to get all that we possibly can out of it. And in just a few minutes, I'm talking 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, maybe 35 minutes, we're going to be done. All right? So bear with me. I'm not exactly sure how far we're going to go, but let's look at what the Bible says. I waited patiently. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I'm glad we have a God in heaven that hears our cry. I'm glad there's a God that's sitting on his throne that is ready, that is eager, that has his ear bent low, ready to hear the cry of the people. Dear friends, tonight I believe that this could be the cry of somebody that's lost, or it could be the cry of somebody that's saved. All I know is that this is a cry that God heard, and God hears our cry. And notice what He does. And this is all of it. This is it. This is what I want us to see. This is what God does when He hears our cry. First of all, He gives us salvation. He gives us salvation. Notice what the Bible says. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. I do not care where you are in your life tonight. If you're in a trouble, if you're in a difficult circumstance, if you're lost and on your way to hell, if you're stuck in the muck and the mire of this world, there's a God in heaven that's ready to pick you up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. How many of y'all have ever been maybe to a riverbank where the river would flow high, but then maybe it was what they call a tidal river? You understand what I'm talking about? When the tide comes in, the river rises, and when the tide goes out, the river goes down. How many of y'all have ever seen a river like that, or been around a river that has been raging, and then it lowers, and then along the banks of the river, you step in, you ever done that? You know, it's like quicksand, isn't it? Man, I've stuck, and I'm telling you, when somebody like me sticks their foot in something like that, we go way low. And you get down, you get stuck, and it's a fearful thing. You know, you're doing everything you possibly. I've lost shoes in it and had to reach way down in there and pick up some sneakers, you know. You know, as a boy, I was pretty adventurous. I've lost a lot of that adventure now. I don't care to go skydiving. Anybody do that's a fool, especially anybody that's over 30. Foolish! You know, I could imagine. I would probably dive out, but it'd be because I pass out and I just fall out. You know? I believe God gives good sense to people, but some miss the boat, right? Miss Kathy, you won't win this battle, I'm telling you. You know? But I've been to places, and we used to go, you know, we'd go and exploring, hiking, having fun. And you get in one of those places, and you ever just get stuck in the mire? You get stuck in the mud? It's a terrible thing. How many has ever been stuck? I mean, honestly, I'm not talking about just the bottom of you. That's not stuck. I'm talking about sunk. You know, and it's hard to get loose, isn't it? You know, and you fight. And the bad thing is, you pick your foot up and you go one more place and you're stuck all over again. And sometimes that's what life does to us. And if you're lost tonight, I want you to know you're in a horrible pit. You're stuck in the muck and the mire of this world and in the muck and the mire of sin. And dear friend, you're in trouble. If you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sitting there thinking this preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a fool for saying the things that he's saying. He's crazy for saying it. But every one of us that have been saved by the marvelous grace of God will be able to stand and give you a testimony that it's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened, that we were stuck in the muck and the mire of this world, and the day that the Lord Jesus Christ picked us up, it was the greatest day of our life. I'm telling you, talk about it, it's like a bird being set free. It's like a freedom that you've never experienced before in your life, because you were lost and on your way to hell, and you were stuck in the miry clay of this world, and it had its grip on you, and it seemed like every time you would move, you'd just get stuck all over again, and you'd get stuck again, and you'd say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, and you'd get stuck again. You'd turn over a new leaf, everything seemed to be fine, but before you know it, you're stuck all over again. It's like a pit, and all around you, you know, it's like you can make a step this way, but there's the pit. You're still down in the pit, and you're still down in the miry clay. And then finally you say, I can't get out. Help! And I cried to the Lord, and He heard my cry. Amen. And I tried over and over to get out of the miry clay, to pick myself up out of the pit, and I couldn't do it. I just kept getting stuck in the muck. I kept stuck. I was getting stuck in good works. I was getting stuck in good deeds. I was stuck in church membership. I was stuck in trying to please my parents. I was stuck in trying to do everything. And it seemed like everything I did, I was still down in that horrible pit. And I was still down in the muck and the mire of the world. But there was a day in my life where I called out to God. And I said, I can't do it. And you know what he did? He reached down into that horrible pit. And he picked me up out of that pit, and he picked me up out of that miry clay, and hey, he gave me a brand new life. I'm telling you, it's thrilling. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you something that I've not experienced. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Somebody sang that one time. That's the only part of that song I know. But I think about it all the time. I'm driving down the road. No devil tells me, you're not saved. I said, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. I said, thank the Lord for that song. I don't know. It may not be scriptural everywhere else, but that one part, I like it. Does anybody around here sing that? Praise the Lord. I'd hate to think that it was one of the songs somebody sang, and I'm saying I've never, that would be bad. He heard my cry. But what about those of us that are saved? Don't we get stuck in the mire sometimes? Don't we get stuck in the mud? You know, we can't lose our salvation, but we just get stuck in the traps of this world. You know, just because you get saved doesn't mean that life's easy. God doesn't promise you that it'll be a bed of roses. God doesn't promise you that it'll be an easy life. As a matter of fact, God says it's going to be difficult. And it's going to be tough. And there's going to be fiery trials. And there's going to be dark days and lonesome valleys. But he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's never so low a valley that God can't go with you through it. There's never so difficult a problem that our God's not able to take care of it. And dear friend, if God doesn't take the problem away, there's never anything so overcoming that God cannot give us the grace to live with it. See, he hears our cry. And he picks us up out of a horrible pit. He gives us salvation for our soul. And then sometimes after we're saved and we've received that salvation, we still have problems with the world and we get stuck in the muck and the mire. And with all that's going on around us, sometimes I look around and I think, Lord, how can you not help but get stuck in it? You know, it's not that you have to step in the mud. They're slinging mud at you. They're trying to pile it all up around you. They're trying to pack it in. And the only refuge we have is the Lord. And he brings salvation. Once again, not salvation for our soul. It's like Peter, when thou art converted. You remember? Peter was already saved. And Jesus said, Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith fail you not. But he knew it was. And he says, but when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you've turned back to the right way of living. You remember when Peter denied the Lord 3 times? And Peter's eyes met the Lord's eyes as the rooster was crowing and Peter began to weep. He realized what he did. Peter even went back to his old way of life. He thought, Lord can't use me anymore. That's what he thought. Because you remember where the Lord found him? Back out on the boat? Well, that was his old life, wasn't it? Now, was he lost? No. He just wasn't in the will of the Lord. And he was out there. And Jesus was coming their way, and he was over here on the banks, and he revealed to them who he was, and Peter come off that ship. And the Lord spoke to Peter. He asked him 3 times, do you love me? You know, we know the story. We've heard all the analogies of this. 3 times is because he denied the Lord 3 times. And we can get into the, thou knowest, you know I love you. You know I love you. You know? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And he settled for a different kind of a love. But we understand that Peter had messed up.
But there was the Lord. And then on the day of Pentecost, there was a preacher that stood. And when he stood, he proclaimed the wonderful works of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And multitudes were saved that day. Who was it? Who was that stood in the midst of the crowd of people and proclaimed what thus saith the Lord? It was that same one that said, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't blankety blank know him. He got stuck and he cried out. And he heard my cry. And he brought him salvation. But not only does he give us salvation, I want you to see secondly what he does. He gives us salvation, but the second thing he does is he gives us security. He settles us. The Bible says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Isn't that exciting? See, the Bible teaches us that he don't just save us and say, all right, now go live it. Go fend for yourself. Fight your own battles. Go through your own war. Go through the valley alone. Find your way through the wilderness. No, he sets us up upon a rock. I'm telling you, it's a foundation so sure and so safe and so real that, dear friends, we cannot be thrown off of it. He set my feet upon a rock and established my going. The moment you put your faith in Christ as Savior, I want you to know what he does. He establishes you a home up in heaven. He establishes you a safe passage through this world. And he establishes you a promise that he will be with you as you go through this world. You see, that's the kind of God he is. And on the journey, even though we're on the rock, we still have to cry out, don't we? And he just gives us the truth and he shows us that he set our feet on a rock. In other words, we're on something that's solid. You know? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Why? All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know what he does? He picks us up and saves us. And then he says, shh, you're secure because I'm putting you on the rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. I like it, don't you? My anchor holds and it grips the solid rock. The day that I was saved, the day he heard my cry, the day he picked me up, he set me upon a rock and he established my going. And dear friend, I want you to know, it was the greatest day of my life. It was the most wonderful event that's ever happened in all my life. And if you're saved tonight, you'd stand and say the very same thing. You say, why are you shouting and why? I can't help it. If I thought I wouldn't pass out, I'd run. Sometimes, you want to kill me? Sometimes,
You know, I get excited when I watch sporting events. I get excited when I see certain things happen. But when I think about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me and how He pulled me out of darkness and He placed me into light, how He pulled me out of hell and He placed me into heaven, how He pulled me out of sorrow and shame and suffering and promised me joy that's everlasting, that's unspeakable and full of glory, well, I just can't help but get a little bit excited about it. Sometimes I can't even speak. I get so excited about it. You know? And sometimes I try to, and it would have been better if I just went, woo, you know? When I think about what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I go back to the day that He heard my cry. You see, that's the key to it all. He's a God with His ear bent low. He's a God that's listening for you know what? He wants you to call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And He's ready. See, He don't twist your arm to call on Him. The day that you got saved, Paul, now I wasn't there. You were, right? You were there when it happened. I guess you ought to know. You know? God didn't come to you and say, all right, come on. Come. Now, they do that in some churches. We don't do that here. Now, I will tell you this. I have been burdened for somebody, and I went up to him and I said, look, would you like to go pray? I've done that. But I've never said, come on, you're going to go. He'd probably punch me out. You know? He'd try. I'd run. He'd have to catch me. That wouldn't be too hard to do either. God doesn't work that way. So God doesn't twist our arm. But I'll tell you what He does. He is ready with His ear bent low. And He's just waiting on you to say, help, Lord. That's what He does. See, He heard my cry, and when He heard my cry, He gave me salvation. When He heard my cry, He gave me security. But what else did He give me? He gave me a song. He changed my vocabulary. He put a new song. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He picked me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock and established my going, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I think Christians ought to want to sing. They may not can sing, but they ought to want to sing. You know? I've heard some Christians that can't. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather see a Christian trying to sing if they've got a song. I'd rather you have a song in your heart. When I got saved, I'll never forget the realizing things that I hadn't realized before. You know, when I was growing up, I have a grandmother. She's 97 now, and you've heard me talk a lot about her, and I mean, she's just a great Christian lady. I'll never forget. I would, in the summer, you know, when we were out of school, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, and they would take me over there 5:30 in the morning, every morning. I hated summers. I had to get up. Look, I got up 3 hours before daylight. And it wasn't to milk a cow either. It was to go to my grandmother's. I usually go back to sleep. And then at 6 o'clock, she'd wake me up. It's time to get up. Don't waste the day, you know. You know how grandmothers are. I'd sleep 15 minutes. I said, but I'm so sleepy. But I'll never forget being in that house. You know what I would hear all day long? A lady that couldn't sing. Singing about the Lord. That's the only songs I ever heard her sing. I never heard her sing one song. I never heard her sing, Oh, Susanna, Don't You Cry For Me. Nothing wrong with that song. There's nothing wrong with a lot of secular songs. You understand what I'm saying. I'm not against. Look, I love classical music. I love certain styles of music that are secular. Nothing wrong with that. You pick and choose. You have to understand. In church, they're not proper, but you understand what I'm saying? But here was a lady
that in her heart was a song, and she couldn't sing. I'm telling you, she just couldn't sing. But she didn't let that stop her. All day long, she was singing about Jesus. And she went for the songs like "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." And she taught children in Sunday school. Always taught children, fifth grade. She taught fifth grade boys. And she'd teach that. And I would hear her singing, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world." And man, I heard it all the time. You know what? I knew my grandmother knew the Lord. Because she just couldn't help but sing. She told me the story about her getting saved. I love the story about her getting saved. It's just a little old girl. How that they was having revival. And I know I've told you this before, but I just get excited when I think about it. I wish we were back to these days. You say, we wish we were back to the horse and buggy days. If it draws closer to God, I wish we were. Yeah, every SUV, every little car, every big car, it didn't matter. I just didn't get rid of all of them if it get us closer to the Lord. But I'm grateful for the car that I have. You know. But she told me about how that they had revival and there was the schoolhouse and the church house. Now, they weren't combined. It was two different places. The schoolhouse was up on the hill and the church house was down here. And how that the preacher was having meeting every night in the church. But in the morning time, they would take all the school children from the school and go down there and the preacher would preach to them. And she went to those meetings. And as a little old girl, before she was a teenager, she trusted Christ in a schoolhouse revival meeting. Well, I don't think we ought to push it on our school children. You can see what's happened to our nation when we took God out of the schools. You can see what's happened. Old Madeline Murray, the one that's dead now, and they say she got killed. If she got killed, I believe God killed her. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. You say, I'm just telling you, dear friends, she brought a lot of things, but you want to know the problem was not her. The problem was Christians letting it happen. But my grandmother got saved, and she don't care to tell you about it. Does she, Brother Mickey? She'll tell you about getting saved, and she'll tell you how good God's been to her. She'll tell you about not having a stick of furniture in her house, and the preacher tell them on Sunday morning, we're going to go over to Hamilton and Ruth's house Tuesday night, have prayer meeting. And they were worried because they didn't have a stick of furniture, but how God provided furniture enough for them to have that prayer meeting in their house. He didn't ask them, can we use your house? He just said, we're going. You know? By the way, we're coming to one of your house. She had a song. I got saved when I was 18. Now, I remember the kind of music that I liked before. And I remember, boy, it was in my heart. I could sing every kind of song there was from that style of music. And there were two styles that I liked a lot. You know, and where I'm from, you could probably figure out one of them. Heavy metal, AC/DC, rock and roll. No, I'm just kidding. Never liked it. But there were songs, and I knew the lyrics to all of them. And I got saved as an 18-year-old boy. And he changed my song. He put a new song. And there's times I hear songs that are sung and I get so excited. I was listening to the choir tonight and they were singing, When the Lamb Becomes Alive. Don't that mean something to us? When we were hearing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Isn't that thrilling? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I'll see, I just start, you know, God changed my song. Did He change your song? You remember? You say, well, I've only been saved a little while. He hadn't changed my song yet. Look, you get around some of this stuff, it gets contagious. Yeah, you know, the church I was in, our choir would sing, you know? I don't like to go to churches where choirs don't sing. You know where they stand up there and their face is in the book. And, I said, you know, sing, open up. Somebody said, by letter, open up and let her fly. You know, I like it when it's in your heart and it's on your lips and you get excited and you're standing there and you're singing, Because he lives.
You know, it's not. Because he lives. Boy, I can't wait till we get this song so I can go sit down. And then when that preacher gets through with preaching, we are going to go out on the town. You know, I'm telling you, that's the way some people do it. My son tells me all these things to say. I like somebody that has a song. I like somebody gets up here, and there's a lot of people that can sing that don't have a song. Do you hear what I said? There's a lot of people that can sing that don't have a song. Oh, they may get up and sing something, and it may be right, but they don't have a song. There's a difference. You see, I would rather hear somebody sing that has a song, that understands what they're singing about. Now, don't take me wrong. There are some people, honestly, that really should sing congregational music only. I understand that. And should sing to themselves. I understand that. I had someone in my family that was just exactly that way. The greatest thing they could do for all the world was sing to themselves and sing in the congregation and not where anybody could really hear them, you know? You understand? There's one of those you stood next to them and you thought, I can't sing. Have you ever stood next to somebody like that? Some of you can't hear anybody anyway. So. But somebody that has a song, and look, by the way, if they can't sing but they still have a song, it's wonderful. You'll never hear me say anything about somebody like that. The Bible says, he heard my cry. He picked me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise. What happens? When you have that song, others take notice. What's it say? I don't remember. And many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Something like that. Am I right? That's what happens when he hears your cry. You see, there's power in a changed life. There's great power that's there. When I got saved, there was people in my family said, well, I thought you already were saved. I'm not, I just was one of those. Look, I've always been somebody that wanted to get along with everybody, always. I've never been in a fight in my life. I know I've told you that before. I've never been in a fist fight in my life. The only time I've ever been punched is when me and my dad used to trade licks. You know, I mean, he would get down here and he would, and I'd do the same thing to him. It hurt, but I'd never let him know. Didn't hurt me, you know. Never been in a fight in my life because I always wanted to get along with people. And I've always liked people. And I'm thankful to the Lord that people have always liked me. I mean, just got along. Never had a whole lot to say to people, you know. I just didn't say anything smart aleck. I don't rub things into people when something bad happens. Or I just don't. It's not my way. But I'll tell you, when I got saved, people said, I thought he's already saved. They began to say, I can see such a difference. That's not because of me. It was because of him. That little shy, by the way, every preacher I've ever known said they were shy. Couldn't get up, couldn't give an oral report, take a zero on an oral report. You know, every preacher just about I've ever heard has made that statement. And so, you know, I was shy, there's no doubt. But when I got saved, God opened my mouth. He really did. I get excited in talking about the Lord. I don't talk about him as much as I should, but I still, every time I start talking about it. And when I'm knocking on doors and somebody wants to talk about the Lord, that's exciting to me. You know? He heard my cry. You remember the day he heard you cry? It was wonderful, wasn't it? That night I felt like the weight of the world was gone. Well, now I've been weighed down some since then. I've had troubles and trials come on me since then. And I've had to cry out to the Lord. You know what? He's still hearing my cry. He's still helping me out. He's reminding me of the solid foundation that I have. And through the midst of the darkest valleys, I'm telling you, God has given me a song. And I've been able to sing through some of the most difficult times of my life. And I know some of you have too. Isn't he a wonderful Lord? Amen. He heard my cry. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for loving us tonight. And I thank you for all that you've done. I pray that you'll bless this time of invitation. May we be obedient unto thee. Help us to respond.